Welcome to the King James Bible Seminary. Today's lesson will be found in 2 Corinthians. We're going to be considering both chapters 8 and 9 together because they concern today's lesson, which is entitled Generosity. We'll begin with chapter 8, verses 1 and 2, if you'll turn there, please. My name is Myron Boffman. I'm your instructor, and I give you a hearty welcome in the name of the Lord to the Word of God. We enjoy studying His Word and having fellowship around His Word. That's what it's all about, learning and growing. Our Bible memory verse for this week, and we have one at least every week, is found in chapter 9, verse 6. 2 Corinthians 9, 6, if you want to look at it. Otherwise, listen up. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. That is your Bible memory verse. We'll go over those again, see who learned it next week. We'll be asking. We'll have volunteers. This is the Writings of Paul class, in case you're wondering where you're at. The King James Bible Seminary, which is a ministry. We minister and teach the Word of God. That is the main thrust. Let's look at verses 1 and 2, please. Somebody's there. Quote, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. End quote. Now we'll go over what this basically says and means here in a second. May the Lord add His blessing to the reading and hearing of His Word. Amen. Paul is here in these two chapters addressing the Corinthians concerning the charity drive on behalf of the impoverished brethren in the Jerusalem area. He praises the generosity of the Macedonian churches and uses them as praiseworthy examples to the Corinthians. Even though the Macedonians were going through hard times themselves, they nevertheless gave generously. We see here that even though these churches were independent, they weren't under one particular main office or heading, they nevertheless did work together on behalf of others of the faith. So there is should be cooperation in churches of like fellowship. These churches of Macedonia are mentioned in the New Testament, being Philippi and Thessalonica, for example. Now, if you remember, the Jerusalem area churches were the ones back in the book of Acts, chapters 4 and 5, that had people there surrender their entire wealth to the church voluntarily. Now, these same people have nothing. And the Jerusalem area churches were in a situation that they now have exhausted those resources that they had and were all in dire need of assistance. And this is what the charity drive that Paul is concerned about, is that's what is going on here. Now, let it be noted that this was a form of communism that they adopted, or communalism, where all share everything. Now, let it be said that failed communism or communalism doesn't work, no matter who tries it or for whatever reason. It just doesn't work, and we don't need to put people through that. Communism forces people into poverty. Now, along with this, the area of Jerusalem was going through a failing economy that is in the general area. So, combined with that, it made it imperative that Paul rally the other churches to come to their assistance. Paul states that the people of Macedonia were not rich people, but were themselves rather impoverished. The Christians of Macedonia were blacklisted, so to speak, in the marketplace, and were persecuted and excluded from employment by the idol worshippers of the city. So, they were not being treated fairly. The amount of money raised was, therefore, remarkable. But that wasn't what was most praiseworthy. It was the liberality of the people in their obedient giving. Their obedience was outstanding. These people gave despite the hindrances of the world. The world tells us, or convinces us, or tries to convince us one way or another, not to give. This kind of giving by the Macedonians is what is considered as true charity, because these people remained nameless, and they all knew that they could not be repaid, but still they gave. They gave, so to speak, their widow's mite quite often. Charity can come in many forms and many ways, but that which is over and above would be considered generous. Generous implies multiples. An example would be when some one thing is asked for, but two is given. That indeed is generous, since it is over and above. It is generous also for one who is in need to also give. We are to keep in mind the generous giving to us by God the Father each day and every day. Christ himself told us to ask of the Father whatsoever we would, and it would be given. Let us remember that what is openly given has other benefits that come with it. One blessing from God has accompanying other blessings that are associated with it. Thus, his grace is multiplied. As Paul so states, our giving is to be based on the grace of God, and because of it. We are to give not just of our monetary resources to one another's need, because we are asked, but rather from the generosity of our hearts, which is generated by the agape love that only God can give. We are to give of our time and talent for God's glory alone. We are not to give for our own glory. This concept is called giving of oneself, or giving of ourselves, if it's plural. Paul states, quote, to wit, end quote. Or in other words, we are to know and acknowledge this in our lives. Now, be of note that this fundraising drive by Paul was not a usual thing that occurred on a regular basis, but only out of necessity. The giving was voluntary also, so that those who gave did so because the Holy Spirit so directed them to do so. People didn't give to keep their membership active and their name was checked off and the amount given, nor were they penalized if they did not give, nor were they removed from the rolls. There is no record of that ever happening in the New Testament church. The next word, quote, bestowed, end quote, means given or not earned. So that which we receive is bestowed on us from God the Father as a gift. We are to follow the guidance from the Holy Spirit and do likewise in regard to the needs of others, especially those of the household of faith. Now, at this point, we need to clarify the term household of faith. That would be those who hold to the doctrine of Christ and his apostles. This is a body of knowledge found in the New Testament. Doctrine is the teaching derived from this body of knowledge, and it is important. The term household of faith would exclude, therefore, what is called doctrinalist Christianity, being that they have left the faith in favor of emotionalism, as well as those who are without the faith once delivered to the saints. Or, in other words, they are apostate. Nor those who are what is called infidel, who follow false religions of various types. Our efforts, therefore, are first in priority to the household of faith. Then it is to those outside the faith. They are not to be forgotten. We are to be virtuous people, charitable, yet following the guidelines of the faith, as seen here. We are reminded of the words of Christ found in Acts 20, verse 35, which says, quote, "It is more blessed to give than receive," end quote, in all of this. Considering this concept of giving, take it a step further, we must also keep in mind the words found in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 7, which says, quote, "And without contradiction, the less is blessed of the better," end quote. If you are looking for a self-improvement program, are you listening? A lot of you would go through that. If you are looking for a self-improvement program, then begin this self-improvement program. Begin by being generous. You will become a better person for it. Let's look at verses 3 and 4. Quote, "For their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty, that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. End quote. The phrase that reports that the Macedonians gave beyond that which was in their power seems to sum it up and say it all here at this point. So let's move on, and we're going to move on down to verse 9. Quote, "For we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes, for your sakes, he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." End quote. Being the Son of God and the Son of Man, he was heir of all things. All things were given unto him under his authority. Yet he fainted not to give it all up for our sakes, to become a suffering servant, as described in Isaiah chapter 53, and as depicted in Philippians chapter 2, in particular verses 7 and 8, which says, "Who made himself of no reputation, and took it upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." End quote. Okay, so these verses here point out Christ's humiliation. He humbled himself, and he took himself upon himself the form of a servant, not a CEO, not a rich powerhouse. No, he took upon himself the form of a servant, and he became obedient even unto death, and the ignominious death of the cross. The cross was a shameful way to die. At least that's how it was viewed. Notice that Christ did not complain about his situation in life, nor was critical of it, as some feel so free to do these days, but rather he accepted it willingly, that which came to him from the Father. One reason his service was acceptable in the sight of God the Father was because of his willingness and obedience. That which you do for the Lord need not be done in complaint. As stated elsewhere, the Lord loves a joyful giver, no matter what is being given. And if you're giving a material object, don't give something old and wore out. That is, give something decent and respectable. We don't give leftover worn out things. Now, if that's all you have, and that's all you can give, then that's what you give. But anyways, as previously stated, we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. We are not rewarded for service or gifts if done or given grudgingly or for show. Things done or given in hypocrisy were probably better not given or done. Now, there are going to be some who hide behind these words and say that they, therefore, will not give or do anything. So they, therefore, will not be a hypocrite. How shameful. These people are condemned on several levels. And really, they should know better. Now, the key to that problem that they would have, the key to the answer to the problem that they have is to repent and get their lives right before God. Let's look at chapter 9, verse 6 quickly. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. End quote. I take this would be to be a truly only in the kingdom of God phrase, because the world will only use generosity, consume it, and look for more, not being thankful. In the kingdom of God, charity is appreciated and properly praised and rewarded. It is God who keeps up with the rewards of true charity. In contrast, the world would consume charity, devour it viciously, and then look anxiously for more, even demanding it. Charity is never forced. Charitable type efforts on the part of a government, such as welfare, government-assisted housing and medicine, are not true charity since it comes from forced taxes. It is the government trying to usurp the arm ministry of the church. Like I said, charity is never forced and taxes are forced. So the government has no real charity program as a church would have, but only tax-provided provisions or programs. Some who are of the prosperity gospel type breed of so-called Christianity often like to use the verse of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, by trying to manipulate people to give, but out of selfish reasons. They encourage people to give to be blessed. The important concept here is that you cannot pay God to bless you. If you are giving to be blessed, you will not be blessed for such a motivation. God does not reward selfishness. God does not reward selfishness. Just like if you made a decision to follow Christ to gain heaven, you're trying to gain heaven for selfish reasons. God does not reward selfishness. Such a concept was one that was fought against by Martin Luther during the Reformation. The paraphrased quote here would be, quote, when a coin goes in the box, a soul flies up, sort of thing, which was going on in the early Reformation. This is where people were paying for indulgences and redeeming people supposedly out of purgatory, a place that doesn't exist. So indulgences were buying permission to sin. And it was a big money racket for the false church of the Roman Catholic persuasion. The truth destroys the prosperity gospel in all its forms as being a false gospel. The church is not to run a money racket. In contrast to all the falsehood The church is to be supported by the faithful, free will giving of those who name the name of Christ as their Savior, and is not to be ignored in this regard. The church, in order to operate, needs funds. So we are to seriously address this need. We are to love His church even as He loved it and gave Himself for it. We don't starve and deprive those we love. One criticism by the world is, and I've heard this once or twice, I'm sure, and so have you, quote, all they want is money. But that phrase, all they want is money, is rather unjustified, but yet it is used against the church in general, by the world, against any church. Therefore, we should rather downplay the importance of money or incoming funds as being not primary and not use pressure to receive funds. Now, like I said, funds are important, but somebody should not leave the meeting thinking that the only reason why they were there is to pay the bills. The church is also to openly and properly use the funds received as designated. That controversy and accusation doesn't so much as arise. Again, we are to be charitable people, as the Lord would have us, being so charitable would be out of sincerity. And we are to have godly love one for another. Now, if somebody does give something to someone and is blessed, the receiver is not to try to repay. Now, that's rather important. To try to repay the gift, if it is truly a gift of charity, will be to rob that person of their blessing, because their reward is in heaven. All right, with that, we will we'll close with a word of prayer. Let's bow. Gracious Father, we thank Thee now for this Thy word and all its meaning and blessings to us. And we ask that You'll cause us to have this word hidden in our hearts. May we be charitable and generous people because You sent Your Son to die on the cross for our sakes, and that You bless us out of the riches of Your glory, according to Your glory. And our needs are taken care of graciously by Thee. And we ask now that You'll cause us, Lord, to faithfully look to Thee and thank Thee for Your generosity. Pray now that You will be with this Thy church, that You'll bless Thy church, cause us, Lord, to grow strong in the faith. Teach us, Lord, what You would have us to know and guide us throughout each day and protect us. Lord, we ask now that You will just be with those out on the mission field, that You'll protect them. Pray for the sick and the lost that we know. We ask that You'll bless each one according to Your riches and glory. And we pray also that You'll be with us throughout each day of the week. May what we do for Thee prosper and bring honor and glory to Thee only. For it is indeed in the name of Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray these things. Amen.